Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Three Quarter Time Podcast. I'm Jangus. I'm joined with Cookie and with Tegum. We're up to episode 16. Absolutely unbelievable effort. Key things that happened in the AFL in the round that happened. Brisbane versus GWS. It was the coming of Cadman. Hawthorn versus the Crows. It was a frigid thriller down in Launceston. I reckon they need a roof down there. Essendon versus Geelong. It was a case of men versus boys. North versus Freo. It was a away Fremantle that overcame a home Kangaroos side at Optus in the pissing rain. And then Port versus Melbourne. It was the Georgiadi show. He had kick seven. And Port have a pulse now. And now we'll go into some discussions in the world of international sport. Cricket's happening, bit heating up in the NBA. So that is the agenda for this week. Boys, how was our weekends?
Not too bad, Jonas. Not too bad. What did I get up to? A whole lot of studying, unfortunately. Finishing the exams. We're about to hit the end of the Bachelor, which is exciting. But, yep, pretty boring, to be honest. T-Dub?
That's what we like, though. That's what we're about here at three-quarter time. We're about putting the head over the pill and putting in the work.
Oh, exactly.
So that we can get the results
right
on the scoreboard.
Right of the final
siren. Kick five with the wind in the last.
We're more like eight, but yep.
Oh, yes. My weekend was good. Very layback. Bit of occupational responsibilities, bit of that. Beautiful. But other than that, not much else. Janus, what about you? How was your weekend?
I can't say I did much. Unlike Cookie, I have finished my uni for the semester, so I did a bit of hibernating.
That is phenomenal.
Much deserved, I reckon. It's a long one.
Made it to the pub this weekend, Janus, or did make it?
Oh yes, I made it to the pub. You know, always gotta make it to the pub.
Good man.
The Mitre Tavern is a sensational establishment in the heart of Melbourne.
What's the go-to order?
I'll keep that to myself, I reckon.
You're a Palmer man.
I am. Palmer and a pint of Coke. Ooh, yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Absolutely unbelievable.
A $10 pint.
No, that is ridiculous. $9. Nah, it's $5.
Oh, okay, $5. Oh, you always get angry when they charge you too much for something.
I remember... Yeah, I went to the Imperial one time to watch Chelsea-Liverpool at like 1 in the morning. I had a mate who got a pint of beer or whatever. It was $10. I went up. I said, hey, sir, can I please have a pint of Coke? He said, yeah, no worries. And as I put the card down to tap, I saw the price. It's $10 as well. I paid the same amount for a pint of Coke.
And he lost it.
Like a pint of draft. No, I didn't. I paid it because my card was already there and I would look like a fool if I...
He lost it to me is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I did lose it to you. I cracked it.
Sometimes you've got to be prepared to pay the price.
Well, I paid the price, that's for sure. And it was a rubbish game as well. It was nil all.
Oh, no.
Oh, gee whiz.
That was rubbish. That was rubbish.
I think like a nil all game.
Can I speak? Exactly. Speaking of rubbish games, there was a few this week, I guess.
A lot of thumpings.
Thursday night was a belting. The Dogs just cleaned up the Saints, just put them to the sword.
Oh my god!
When they play a bottom six team, they just smash them. We had the Cats absolutely bake the Bombers. We'll get into that a bit later, and then
kick the shit out of them.
The Blues relatively comfortably over the Eagles,
except they lost the second half. Apparently,
but honestly, fair enough. But Q in the rack. The long flight home from the Western Districts.
It's a long flight to play North Melbourne again, isn't it?
Yep.
What do we want to get in first, lads? I reckon we go Friday night, Hawks versus the Crows.
Good call.
It was not wet. It was not windy. It was cold. But it was ideal weather for goal kicking, and that there was literally none. There was a period... I reckon it took Adelaide like two quarters from the 20-minute mark of the second quarter. They didn't kick a goal. on like the 20-minute mark of the fourth quarter or something. Like, it took them two quarters to kick a goal, and then we're in front basically the entire time, which is crazy. Jonas, how did you see this one?
Well, I can't say that I watched much of it. As you said in the chat, it was very irritating. Not much really happened. I think, yeah, in the third quarter, there was two goals to start with from Hawthorn, and then nothing happened.
A lot of points.
When I watched it, I was going to say, when I watched it, it felt like it had the marker of when Hawthorn, I think McDonald kicked the goal. And then I thought, oh, but I reckon Adelaide will go back and get it back. And they did. But then Newcomb obviously kicks the sealer. But it was just cold. And I reckon if Tassie do, if all the political stuff permits, I reckon if they do come in, they'd need a roof. That they would need a roof if they're going to play regular football in Tasmania at night too.
What do you reckon, T-Dub?
I agree, because you can't risk spectacles like that. You can't risk having five goals to say it wasn't a close game. You can't risk it being 5-8 on a prime time spot. You can't risk it.
Yeah.
So build the roof. Please.
Build the roof.
From a production man like yourself, T-Dub, surely the roof's just better for the entertainment.
Oh, let them entertain us.
Better for the camera angles.
Mate, just think of the employees. Think of the cameramen. Think of the sound. Think of the pyrotechnics. Think of the stewards. Think of everyone. Oh. Don't bloody put them outside. Keep them inside, make it nice, and you never know, Katy Perry might go down there and sing. Who knows? Like, come on. I believe
also,
in
what's
you.
What's going to happen if they have a final? Like a big final, like you just want a roof. You know what I mean?
Well, you don't want it to be 5-2, that's for sure.
But it's like what you said, like it wasn't wet, it wasn't like it didn't rain, it was like perfect night, but the cold, like, sort of made it slippery. Like, it sort of made it...
Well, the dew.
Yeah, the dew was dewy.
Johnson said after the game, he's like, he was getting interviewed, and he's like, this is actually, now that I stopped playing, this is like ideal weather for kicking goals. I'm like, what are we doing? That's usually what he said. And he's like, I think everyone was feeling the pressure. Like, no one could concentrate. Everyone was thinking it was way worse than it was. It's interesting. But the Hawks found a way.
Yeah, it was an ugly win.
Ugly win. We'll take ugly wins.
Good for the top four chances.
Win ugly.
I tell you what, Sam Mitchell gave him a bake, and I'm happy that they listened to him. Very good. That's good signs. What else have we got up to? The Giants. That is a hell of a win against the Lions. The Lions have lost, what, a couple on the trot now? Have they?
Yeah.
Yes. Giannis, how'd you see that one?
Well, I'm glad to see Aaron Cadman sort of get a sort of breakout. Last year, I think it was when Brisbane it was very similar to the home and away game, Giants Brisbane last year, where I think Cadman and Darcy Jones were quite well together, and they overcame a pretty sizable deficit to win. It was like 30 points or something. So good to see Cadman really get his wheels going, particularly taking advantage of, obviously, Payne went down, which, poor bloke, like, he was probably putting together his best year. I think he's like third in the league for like intercept marks or something, putting together a really good year, goes down. Hipwood's forced back into defense. He's not a defender, and Cadman and Hogan obviously take full advantage of it. But I really liked how Cadman worked up the ground. He took a great mark. He sets up sort of transition as well by being that kind of outlet mark, keeping the tsunami moving forward. But the Giants, they sort of they're being a bit sort of up and down, a bit sort of bipolar. But it was good to see when they get the tsunami up and going, they can really punish you, and they scored off transition very well.
Hey, Dub, I got a question. Why can't they play at home? Why are they winning so many games away? Why can they beat the Cats and the Lions away?
Two reasons. They
can't beat Port at home.
Two reasons. NG Stadium is a cow paddock. And
a sheep field.
The second is I think they genuinely have more fans in away games than home games.
Yeah. You know what? They might.
Like,
if they come to Melbourne.
You go to Melbourne, the cheer squad's like semi-full because you just get all the Melbourne
and
people.
And all the neutrals want them to win.
That's what I mean. So you get all the neutrals who go for them. But that might still only be 2,000 or 3,000 people. But NG Stadium doesn't hold 2,000 or 3,000 people. So...
That was 3,000 cows.
I'll tell you what, it's a good sign. It's a good sign for them because it means they can literally win the premiership from any position in the top eight. Like, they could win it from eighth. They could win it from first. That's the sort of... Because it means if they finish seventh or eighth, they're going to have to play away games, which they're good at, they like, they're used to. So... I mean, if they get a spot on the grid, they can win it from any position, to be honest.
I like it.
That's what I'd say about the Giants.
Yep.
Yeah. Good call.
We love the tsunami. That Collingwood prelim still stings me to this day. It still hurts.
That's a sad day.
What a game, though.
Ugh, crushing.
Not as crushing as Geelong's win over the Bombers.
Oh. Speaking about crushing... Janus, what did you see from level four and the members? What did it look like? To me on TV, it looked like under 18s versus under 12s. Genuinely, I didn't know where Essendon's players were.
I mean, when you look at Essendon's list, they played like five blokes who played under five games. So they were very young. And I mean, it's like what I said in the intro, it just sort of looked like men versus boys. Geelong, which is clinical. Defensive setup was really good. I sort of found that we weren't really going through the middle a lot. We're using the wide areas quite a lot. The switch was always on, and we were able to sort of shift that Essendon zone and use our foot speed to sort of move through the holes that it left. To be honest, not really much more to add other than the fact that we...
Essendon haven't beaten the Cats since 2019. Is that the longest streak of any team
and
like right now?
I'm not sure, but when they play Geelong, they get thumped. Like, I was at the game where Hawkins kicked eight, you know, like last year in Lawson Humphrey's first game, we beat them by 50 points. We beat them by 95 points on Saturday. Like, it just seems like they're a team that Geelong always smash. Like, we kick the shit out of them, to be honest.
Yep, tell us what you really think.
We kick the shit out of them. But it's good to see Neil sort of putting together a rear. He's sort of come into a bit of form. He's working up the ground, taking big marks, setting up entries inside forward 50. Forward pressure is just unbelievable. Close going well. Myers going well. Manor going well. DeConing went...
apart from DeConing, is anyone on the list injured?
Colin Jasny's out, but O'Sullivan's coming and just plugged that spot right up.
Did he actually play?
Colin Jasny, I don't think he's getting over O'Sullivan now.
Remarkable. They're so healthy.
Yeah. We did have... Like, Stanley went out for a little bit, but he's come back in. And as much as, like, we need Stanley in the team, actually. He gives us, like, we're so much more settled with Stanley because he's a designated ruckman. We look a bit unstable when he's not in the team, so.
They have, like, Ollie Henry on the bench, Jed Buse on the bench.
Yeah, Jed Buse on the bench.
Like, not, when I say bench, I mean emergencies.
That's
crazy. Ollie Henry would, like, North would love Ollie Henry.
But, yeah, he'd go well for any, like, he'd go well for any sort of bottom club.
I think any team would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hawthorn would take him.
I think any team would. just shows the depth.
Good depth. Yeah, it's great depth. But yeah, not really much to add. Bailey Smith and Max Holmes having like 40 touches. They're like Batman and Nightwing in there.
We're going to give a shout out to North. That's a great effort against the Dockers. I wasn't watching this, but I was checking the scores and I saw North were down by like 5 goals. I was like, okay, this is done. Check back in and they're down by a point. I'm like, whoa.
They go level at some point.
Yeah, I know. They had a chance to take the lead. Curtis missed from the boundary.
They played very, very well.
North. But again, it's another one of those games where playing well is not good enough. Still can't get over the line.
Draft picks, I guess.
I suppose it was a wet game. It was a very wet game. And for them to sort of come back a fairly sizable deficit, given the conditions. But Tracy takes that big mark late and they just can't get over the line. It's another one.
Yes.
What do you reckon about the Nat Fife sub? Surely this is Fife's last year. Like, isn't he contracted for another one, or am I tripping?
I'm not sure.
I have no idea.
He's hanging on. He's hanging on.
He's hanging on.
Yeah, he's had a rough since COVID. He has not had a good run.
He's had a rough run with injury. Yeah, absolutely.
He's
been crucified by injuries.
Like, if they're playing a big final, like, I don't even know. I guess you play him because it's experience.
He's a cool head. I mean, he'd be a cool head.
He's so fumbly when I see him come on. Like the last 2 weeks. I don't know.
I mean, both were wet games, by the way. Both were wet. So I get what you're saying, but see, I actually kind of see he comes on, he has a bit of an impact.
I see it, but at the same time, just give a young kid a go.
He doesn't believe it. Yeah. He sees it, but he doesn't believe it.
Yeah. And then today, we had the pair.
The pair.
Too good over the D.
Keep their season alive. Give Kenny another game.
It was a good game. Obviously, Port ran away with it, but up until sort of three-quarter time, I was watching. I was really invested into it. I thought it was a really good game. It was very momentum based. Both teams were moving it. Yeah, both teams were moving it really well. On May,
unbelievable.
Yeah, he kicked 7 on May, but he kicked 7-4. He missed some pretty easy ones.
We love Melbourne kicking straight.
Yeah, but it was a game where Melbourne were moving it quite well. Cozzy Pickett was playing quite well, but their entries going forward, a lot of them were dump kicks. But momentum, Port just ran away with it. They kicked goals late in quarters. You know, sort of took the wind out of the sails of Melbourne, I thought, and then obviously it set them up for. To kick away.
Yeah.
How'd you boys see it?
I did not watch one second of it.
I watched a bit of it like late. It's just that I don't just wasn't Raga Galea like about to break the intercept marking record?
Yeah,
or
he was. I think he ended up having 9 intercept marks. But
that
a lot of them,
me at all.
But a lot of them, he was playing well, but a lot of it was because Melbourne were dumping it in and he could easily set up behind
it. It's just a common theme.
Yeah.
Brian Lake wanted Norm Smith off dump entries.
Wash your mouth out.
Am I wrong?
You are not wrong. You are not wrong.
I remember watching that game back and just seeing how many times Freo kicked the ball long and high and Lake would just come across and just take a mark. Or punch it out of bounds. Nah, he was still good though. 13 marks for Radigalea. That's a good.
When's the last time a backman won a big backman won a Norm Smith besides Brian Lake?
Jeez, I mean, Johannesson was a halfback.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Sean Hart was a back pocket.
Who did he play for? North?
Brisbane.
Oh, true.
Brisbane.
Oh, okay. It is rare.
It's rare for Backman to win it non full stop.
It's rare for Backman to win anything.
Glenn Archer, I think.
He couldn't win Survivor. What hurts me still.
The grub.
He also couldn't. No, I won't mention.
Yes, don't mention Japan.
Yeah, don't. We make a mistake.
Everyone's singing it, but we won't say it.
Yep. Speaking of, it's time for the unsungs, I reckon.
I like it.
All right.
Let's get into the unsungs.
I'll kick us off.
I am going to kick us off.
Oh, bang.
You kick us off.
I want to kick us off, but.
I'll kick us off.
Kick us off, Tito.
I want to take him. Michy Georgiades. He's kicked 7-4. Let's just be. I don't need to say anymore. He's kicked 7 goals, 4. In a game where his team kicked like 83 points or something.
Oh, yeah.
93.
Big marks as well. Big marks as
seven
well.
7 goals, 4.
That's a reliable mark.
Need I say
yeah.
more?
Yep.
Cookie?
Yep.
We'll go with another goal kicker. I'm going to go Aaron Cadman.
Oh, that's cash.
The Dali boy.
Yep.
Yeah, just absolutely took over. He is getting confident. Five snags against the reigning premiers. Definitely out. And that he kicked 3, I think, in the first
and a hanger. Quarter. And a hanger. Yeah, he kicked 3.
Something. So he kind of brought him back into the game.
And those 3 goals, they're all half chances as well. They're fairly big shots.
He had 19 touches as well. Like, that's very, very good for a full forward, half forward, whatever. Jonas finishes off.
Well, I'm going with a backman.
I like it.
I'm going with Connor Ryden.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like it.
Connor Ryden.
He's a Rolls Royce, that man.
He is. He's a classy, he's a speedy intercept defender, rebound defender, and he did a really, really good job on Charlie Cameron. Kept him to 5 touches, no goals. And Ayden had 23 of his own. He had 5 score involvements, and he went at 83%. So he's a like you said, a Rolls Royce.
That's a domination.
Helps with that tsunami transition. Love Connor Ayden.
Just quietly, Charlie Cameron is struggling a bit, I feel like.
You don't need to say that like quietly. That is well and truly out there.
What's wrong with him is my question. Ted, what do you tell him? If you're his coach, you sit him down. Charles, listen, mate, you've won a flag. Going to need some output.
I'd show him a 3-minute montage of him ripping the Harley. I'm saying we need that back. We need this back. We need it back. Just, I don't care if you kick a goal and we're 80 points down. Just bring it out.
Bit of confidence.
Just be like confident.
Yourself, yeah.
Just back yourself as well. Like you've done it before. We know you're a gun. Like just believe in yourself. But anyway,
yeah, I like it.
How do we order these?
All right. We just Georgiades first, I think.
7 is 7, well, and on because... May and Lever.
But yep, Cagman exactly. did do it against Brisbane, but I suppose it was sort of on Hipwood. So
yep.
We'll go Georgiades.
I don't care what you say. Hipwood and Payne and Andrews are not May and Lever.
Yes, exactly. I'll go Hipwood, Cadman.
Hipwood?
No, not Hipwood.
Oh, bang! Here we go. We've got a latecomer. We've got a bolter.
Pencil.
We've got a late scratching.
Georgiades, Cadman, Ayden.
I like it.
Not Hipwood. He had 11 kicked on him.
Janice, what's your prediction?
Okay.
Well, I'm keeping with the Giants theme.
I reckon
the Giants and the Suns will be the game of the round. I reckon it'll be a thriller. I'll say under a goal, and I reckon Cadman will keep up his good work.
Ooh. Can we get a number?
I reckon he'll kick 4.
Ooh, love that. Cookie?
I think the Lions find a way.
Oh.
We will be there. Oh. And you will be very on them, which will be annoying.
Will.
What stand will you be sitting annoying. In?
I think we're just GA.
We're GA, so we can kind of move around. Where should we sit?
in the players' stand with the Brisbane cheer squad for Cookie's mental
health.
Oh, that's where we were last time. Yeah, yeah.
When Murphy Reid kicked four.
Yeah.
Oh, that is true. Yeah.
Yeah, we're down there. I reckon the Lions got up by a kick.
Oh, bang.
Pick up.
Bang. North End Carlton season.
Ooh. Ooh. By how much?
Like 3 goals or something. Carlton will kick like 11 goals, 20. And North.
Okay.
Yeah, I could.
And North will just kick. If North play the way they did against Fremantle for more than, to be honest, they play pretty well for the whole game. They just couldn't convert. If they convert and get their midfield rolling, you want to see a team wilt and just crumble. That's what will happen.
Do you think they want some revenge for the crucifixion you gave them on Easter Friday?
Maybe. That's very good. But
Charlie isn't playing. And Harry, right?
Harry will play. Mackay will play, but Harry.
Kerner was subbed with calf tightness.
Yeah, but it's probably, knowing him, he's probably popped it right off the bone, and he's probably out for 2 months.
Yeah, because Walsh has a hot spot, and he's out for 6 weeks.
Well, you wouldn't play him a week after, or no, 6 days after.
No, you wouldn't. From Perth, too.
If Harry's fit, don't risk him. I wouldn't risk him anyway.
I wouldn't.
We risked him against Hawthorn last year, and look what happened.
That day is,
I'll never forget that for the rest of my living days. We lost like 8 blokes that day.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was ridiculous.
I've got a fun fact for us.
Oh, yes. Lads.
After reading a bit of Silk's book.
Hello.
I'm going to go to a football club called Mallee Park. Has anyone heard of it?
It's an indigenous club.
I could pretend I do,
Port Lincoln, in the Port Lincoln Football League.
That's beautiful.
Now, I just want to take you back to their 1985 premiership. And I'll tell you who was playing.
Under what?
What do you mean?
Is it seniors? Seniors?
Seniors. In this team, we had Eddie Betts' father.
Yep.
Oh.
Eddie Senior. We had Graham Johncock's father.
Oh.
Barry.
What a name.
We had Lindsay
Barry
Thomas's
Johncock. Uncle.
What a name.
Max. We had Daniel Wells' dad, Leonard, and we had Byron Pickett's dad, whose name was Norm.
That's
some names.
That's some talent.
There's some royalty in that game.
There's some genes.
I know. Mallee Park has won 16 flags.
Oh, bang.
In like however many years.
Beautiful.
And they were made in 1981. There you go. I think a lot of royalty comes from that area.
That is beautiful.
There you go.
That's a great story.
A great read.
I was like, damn, how many players? Like, geez. Mate, just talent. Anyway, speaking of talent, the South Africans.
Yes, yeah, love the Springboks. The Proteas had a really good win over at Lords.
Take us through it. What did you see?
I saw difficult batting conditions, but it just got easier.
Yep.
And unfortunately, I mean, I don't know when South Africa last played a test, but I mean, we haven't played a test in what, 6 months? And we changed our order? Or did we play in Sri Lanka?
Yeah, we played in Sri Lanka like 3 months ago.
Yeah, but that was in like Feb. That was like straight after the Sydney test. It like wasn't that long.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. It was a couple of weeks after or something.
Yeah, it wasn't that far apart.
It wasn't a big turnaround.
No, but in saying that, we haven't played, say it's 4 months, 5 months. That's a long time. And then we changed the order. Labuschagne's never opened. And if I see Cameron Green batting at number 3 again, fair dinkum. Oh, he's got a gap bigger than an Airbus A380 between his back and his front pad. Come on, Greeny. We love you, but you're a number 5. Bring back Sammy Costas.
Agreed. 100% agree.
Nah, but I'm surprised I didn't go with him.
Markram and Temba Bavuma had a very good knock.
He's talking about a gritty innings. Yes,
it's just the way
Bavuma had a he did his hamstring. He had a very valiant 66, I think it was.
Yes, something like that.
He fought through that.
And I tell you what, he's gone.
No, I'm back.
He's back.
Hello.
There's just something about saying Aidan Markram. It's just such a good scientific name.
Oh, yes.
About 136. That's a great knock.
Fitting for the final.
Prayer for Smudge. We're not going to see him for a long time. His finger's completely destroyed.
Where are we playing tests next?
We're in the West Indies.
Yeah, he won't go. He won't play.
Why would you? I guess, no point.
Yeah. But,
Back Sammy Constance. Completely agree.
Yeah. Well, just, like, why would you... Just play a young opener.
Like, I was going to say, surely the conditions like kind of suited him in a way. Like, I don't know. Like, it's England. I feel like just like that kind of works.
When are you going to get exposed to English conditions but not have to face the home team?
English crowds, yeah.
Or home crowds. Like,
yeah, great point. It's like work experience, really.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's a championship and a trophy, but like...
We care more about the Ashes than that, without a doubt.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah, of course we do. Yeah.
I'd rather smack the Poms 5-0 than see us win 10 World Chess Championships.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I think South Africa haven't won a ICC trophy. I don't know what I think it's like over 20 years or something. 35 years or something. So I reckon
it's good. Yeah. It's good when it's very good for cricket. It's definitely good.
I love watching South Africa.
Yeah, me too. I love it as well.
They're determined, yeah.
Dean Elgar.
Oh, Hashim Amla.
Dale Steyn. Oh, Hashim.
Graham Smith.
When we were playing cricket as a kid, Tim?
Mornay Morkel.
Who was my opener?
Oh, Barry Bavuma.
Barry Bavuma. Is he a player?
Yeah, he just copied Temba, but called him Barry. He ran himself out.
Oh, that's right. Hit wicket.
Yeah, hit wicket. I've still got the papers somewhere. The old test matches.
That is a flashback. Yeah, Tim and I used to play test matches like day to like it would go over like a weekend or something.
We just play.
No, longer.
A lot of overs. I've got the score sheets somewhere.
You've kept them.
Yeah. The real talent with that is being able to keep track of two batsmen's scores at once.
Yeah, it's true.
And remembering who's on strike.
And bowling figures.
And
everything.
Bowling figures. It was phenomenal. It was such good luck.
The joke is, we found it easy.
Yeah. We did. And the ability to have a left arm spinner in both teams.
Oh, Adrian Chase.
Adrian Chase.
If you know, you know. He was my left arm orthodox spinner, Jonas.
That's just beautiful. Yeah, I think you tell me. Oh,
that's great. Okay.
Very good.
Now to finish off. Oh, wait. Let's go into some... So we got the hockey on at the moment. We got 3-1. No. Is it 3-1?
3-2.
Yep.
Florida won 3-2. Game five today. They won 5-2 in Edmonton. Game six is on Wednesday in Florida. So the winner of that game win the Stanley Cup. I think Florida will win. But I think if the Oilers do win, they'll win Game 7 easily.
Yep.
So I think the winner of Game 6 will win the Cup.
So I would highly encourage anyone who hasn't watched much ice hockey, tune in because this is basically the grand final.
It's one of the great series too. It's been phenomenal. To all the Boston fans, you let Brad Marchand go. You silly people.
Did they?
Oh, something like that. He got traded or something. I don't know the full details. I can't remember. It was too long ago.
Jonas, what's happening in the world of the world game?
Well, the FIFA World Cup, Club World Cup is on, I think it started today or starting tomorrow. Don't really know what's happening.
People who don't know what the Club World Cup is, what is it?
Well, best clubs put into like a pool and they play off for the FIFA World Club World Cup.
It's a World Cup for clubs.
Yeah, it's a bit of a lollipop tournament, to be honest. But
is that because West Ham aren't in it?
Who's in this cup? Like, is Real Madrid?
Real's in it. Chelsea's in it.
It's just the top clubs.
Who else from the?
It is like
I think Auckland are in it. FC.
Like, oh, are they?
Yeah, Auckland are. They're playing Bayern actually. Into Miami's in it.
Melbourne. What about Melbourne City?
Nah, no. It's just one. There was a comp.
It's one or two because I actually don't know. Let me get it up for.
There was a comp and Auckland won it, so they went. They qualified.
So it's not
for
who
it.
Wins the league.
No, it's not league based. It's
so yeah. So Auckland are playing Bayern tomorrow at 2 a.m. PSG's in it. Atletico Madrid's in it. So yeah, basically the best clubs.
Yeah.
The world.
Yeah, fair enough. Auckland versus Bayern.
Auckland versus Bayern. Yeah,
let's go,
Man
boys.
City's the other Prem team in it. But that's what's sort of happening in the world of football. Tottenham have found their new manager. They got Brentford manager Thomas Frank. So Frank comes in, and I reckon
still
that's
had a job.
Yeah, but I reckon Frank's a good appointment. We saw with what he did at Brentford, he could score. He could score quickly. They had a record for scoring in the first minute of like, I think they scored in the first minute of like 5 consecutive games in a row.
Oh, it's like the Canucks 2 years ago.
Something like that, but Frank has a ability to be far more flexible with his defense with his team layout. Ange was very dogged in how he played. He was very committed to the high line attacking football, whereas Frank is a bit more versatile. He'll create a game plan, and if things go wrong, he'll shift. So I reckon that's a good appointment. The only thing with him, I reckon, that will be a watch is his ability to plan for more games, because obviously Tottenham are playing in Europe. Brentford never played in Europe, so he had more time to plan. It'll be interesting to see how he goes with less time between games or slash more games. But I think that's a good appointment. He's built a great culture at Brentford, got them promoted. Yeah.
Mate, I just had a look at the Bayern Auckland odds. Now, we're not gamblers here on this podcast.
Definitely not.
I want you to guess what Auckland are paying on Betfair to win this game.
10. 20. 30. 45. 56.
150. I could put a dollar on Auckland right now, and if
cannot
they win,
lose.
I get 150 back.
Cannot lose. What's a draw?
A draw is 50. And buying $1.02.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, that is word. So funny. Just quickly, we've also got 2-2 in the NBA. That is really heading up.
Yep.
Yes.
I love a game 7 in this series. I feel like it'd be perfect.
It would.
We will see. We will see. It's going back to OKC.
For a Halley title. Master.
Yep. We will see. Now, the topic we wanted to bring to you this week.
Yep.
One of the topics is on the spirit of the NBA. You just can't help but notice the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Indiana Pacers. Their defense is phenomenal, both of them. They are so good at defense. And it spurred the question, what are some of the, just the great defensive sport teams throughout history? Now, I'm going to start with NBA. So, the way defensive rating works in the NBA is you basically measured, if your defensive rating is 100, then on average, your team holds your opponents to 100 points per 100 possessions. Right now, so the OKC are the best defense in the league. Their defensive rating is 107, with Orlando's 109. In 2016, the Spurs, with Kawhi, Tim Duncan, and Danny Green, held I think one of the best defensive ratings of all time. They had 99 points per 100 possessions.
That's phenomenal.
Which is just beautiful.
That's elite.
And then, so the best defensive player this year in the NBA is J-Dub on the Thunder.
Oh, yes.
And Shea also has like a defensive rating of like 107 as well. So it's clear in the NBA, defense wins championships, like genuinely. You cannot win the NBA without defense. Unless you're the Thunder. I mean, unless you're the Warriors of 2018.
Yeah.
And you have like KD, Steph, and Clay. Then I don't think defensive matters.
No.
But yeah, what have you got for us, lads?
Here you go.
Well, any Patriots team, really. They're just... 2018, one of the most underrated Super Bowls of all time. It's just a defensive masterclass for both teams, to be honest. Mainly Big Bill.
Yep.
But from a hockey perspective, because I like to bring the Canadian twist, I'm convinced there's a postman who's Canadian somewhere. But anyway, there's the New Jersey Devils. They implemented this strategy, a 1-3-1 system that they used to basically choke the middle third. They basically changed the way they defended and they just didn't concede. From an individual point of view, like you were talking about J-Dub and Shea, probably, I mean, I'm a Canucks fan, so I instantly just remember Tim Thomas in 2011 in a 7-game series let in, I think it was 8 goals in...
Is that the goalkeeper?
Yeah. He let in 8 or something. Like it was, he had 2 shutouts, a 1-0, a 2-1, so 3-4.
What is a shutout?
5. A shutout is a no, conceded nothing.
Oh, okay, the clean sheet.
The clean sheet. I think it was 7 or 8 goals he conceded in a 7-game Stanley Cup finals. Ended up winning the Conn Smythe player of the playoffs. So from a hockey perspective, that's probably one of the best defensive efforts I can think of. And yes, there was a lot of pleading about the Devils' strategies from the mid-90s to the late O's, the 1-3-1. Yes, that's what I've got. Janus, what have you got? Just defense.
I've got a few from the world of football, world sport. Let's start with 19. Well, it's not definitely not West Ham, unfortunately.
Or we Tottenham conceded, this year.
We conceded 62 goals this year. Last season, we conceded 74, so it's not us. But the one of the best defensive teams of all time is 1994 AC Milan. They had a centre-back combo of Baresi and Maldini, who are some of the best centre-backs in the world, like of all time. In the Serie A, which is their league.
Italiano League.
So in the Serie A, they conceded 15 goals in 34 games.
That's ridiculous.
And then in the Champions League, they conceded 2 goals in 8 games, and they won the Champions League.
Wow.
Then that's also crazy. We've got 2004 to 2005 Chelsea. That's Mourinho's first year in charge. They conceded 15 goals in 38 games. And they had they won the Premier League. They had 25 clean sheets in a row.
Jeez.
What?
And that was a typical park the bus tactic.
Were they just playing for clean sheets? Like, would they get 1-0 up?
Wait, what did I say? Clean sheets in a row? No, it's not in a row. 25 clean sheets for the whole season. Oh,
I was going to say, 25.
That's
25 in a row is ridiculous. 25 in a season is ridiculous.
That's my bad. 25 clean sheets in a season. But that's the that's a typical park the bus tactic.
So they only conceded multiple goals twice.
Yep.
My word.
Is Drogba playing for that team?
No, Drogba was in he was in the tens. He was in the 2010s.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
But you had Lampard playing for that team.
Oh yeah.
And then this year, Burnley, they only conceded 16 goals in 46 games. They went 33 games unbeaten. And then they had 11 consecutive clean sheets. And the goalkeeper, James Trafford, didn't concede more than one goal.
Gee, that's...
So...
That's phenomenal.
They have a
defense.
Very, very good defensive record. And they went up with it. Whereas Leeds, on the other hand, had a very, very good offensive record. They scored 95 goals and went up with it. So it was a real two sides of the same coin for the championship promoted teams. Yeah.
Now, just quickly, I got to mention something, otherwise a mate of mine will kill me. He's a big Seahawks fan. Now, in the 2010s, the Seahawks had a defensive line.
The Legion.
This is their secondary, the Legion of Boom.
Oh.
That's what they called it. Comprised
that's an awesome name.
It's comprised of a bloke called Bam Bam Cam. I get told his name's Cam Chancellor, and a bloke called Earl Thomas Richard Sherman.
Oh, jeez.
And they were kind of changed defense because they were so aggressive. That's why they called it a Legion of Boom. They would just hit blokes.
They were so good.
Just make them fumble it.
Oh.
So I mentioned that for you. You know who you are.
That was so good.
What about footy? We've got, I said the Cats, like Matty Scarlett, Corian Wright,
Harry
Joel
Taylor,
Corey, Milburn, Taylor,
any Ross Lyon team.
Josh Hunt. Yeah, that Freo
Josh
team
Hunt.
Was good. I shouldn't mention Josh Hunt, but I did.
The Freo team, respect. The Saints team.
That Freo team. Yep. Who's in that Saints team? Clint Jones. He wasn't a defender though, was he?
That's a good name.
Raph Clark?
That's another good
name. Yeah, he was.
Brett Peake.
Was like
James
Dempster.
Wilt. Sean Dempster.
Sean Dempster. Yeah.
McQualter was in
Sam
that team.
Sam Gilbert.
I'm not sure if he was a defender. McQualter?
Yeah.
Was he?
McQualter was in that
he
team.
He might have been a halfback. Yeah, he was in that team.
Farron Ray.
Oh!
Zach Dawson.
22, wasn't he?
Zachy Dawson. I can't think who else was in that team. And then obviously Fremantle, we've been through on the pod before.
Yep.
But the Andy Ross Lyon team, to be honest.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. It's different. You can play defense in the AFL like differently. You can go about it like the Dockers. We can go about it like the Hawks. Like they were so contrasting, kinda.
Or the Tigers, like the Hawks, I think, more importantly.
Well, yeah, true. Or the Tigers.
Yeah, they're just that run and gun turnover game versus like literally I will not let you score more than 55 points.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, the defense for this week's pod. I hope you enjoyed our discussion and learned something. That's what we want.
Just
we
throw
want
Djokovic
to
in there too, just quickly. I'll throw the Joker in there.
Ooh, I actually love that.
Mr. Consistent, the brick wall. Anyway.
What about Pajara? I suppose he's also very
good. Now we're cooking.
Oh.
Now we're cooking.
Just that.
Triteshwar.
Where was it? Where 2019, was it?
18.
Oh, you don't have to remember mine, too, don't I?
Oh, my word. I watched every 18, ball of that series.
Pajara.
Just.
Well, they won that series.
Yeah, they did.
First series win in Australia bloody ever.
He's a massive part of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because he batted forever and the pitchers made the ball bounce this high. No, I was disciplined.
So close to the ground.
Yes.
Actually, on cricket, I had a mate of mine talk to me the other day. He said, do we need a format in between Test cricket and One Dayers?
It's called, and I'm like, what, like a 75 over?
Like 25, I don't know, like a 30 over.
Well, you know what the idea he mentioned to me? He said, maybe we should have it so just the top six on each team bat. So you just go the batters versus the bowlers. I'm like, it's like interesting.
Okay.
It would never happen, but it's interesting.
Do three innings. I'd go forever.
Anyway. Yeah. Good thinking. Bit of defense for this week. I hope you enjoyed. We like bringing interesting topics, and I think it's good because we learn something, you learn something. It's beautiful.
It promotes the game. It promotes sport, which is what this podcast is all about.
Ultimately, the reality is defense wins championships.
But offense wins moments.
Offense wins the highlight clips, but the best teams always have a good defense. Every time.
Block by James.
Exactly. Delhi almost died guarding Steph.
I didn't realize they were 2-1 up in 15, the Cavs.
I didn't know that either.
They were 2-1 up and then lost in 6. Probably is going to be a Pacers job this year. There's actually a lot of similarities. Like, the Thunder are a young super team in the making. They could win, like, 3 of the next 5.
Definitely.
And the Pacers 100%. Are, like, a bunch of role players.
That was another thing I was thinking. I can't remember a team where, like, a team, like, of people is so, like, a team.
They're just so reliant on each other.
But they're, like, so... it's
like unified.
Everyone is just so important.
No, but yeah, but like they all are like, there's like Tyrese is the star, sure, but like not really.
Yeah, like, I know.
Like Tyrese doesn't do his work without.
No, but like watch the game. Like, it's like everyone does everything.
Yeah, it's very
rare. NBA.
It's the Magic, baby. We're coming. 26.
No, but even the Magic, like it goes through Franz and Paolo.
It's coming back. It's coming to the O-Town.
Yeah, you can say that because Halliburton has a lot of games. Like,
mate, doesn't even touch it.
In that game where he hit the game winner, game one, he like had eight points or something, right?
Had like 14 points. But like TJ McConnell, like Nimhard, like Neesmith.
No, he was willing himself in game two.
Brad Shepherd.
Yeah.
Like they all contribute. It's unbelievable.
Helps when you've got a solid like 4 and 5. Like Siakam and Turner. Like, they're just good.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just consistent. Kind of,
it's good. I like it. I like it.
If you boys are betting, who is taking it? The NBA championship.
Thunder in 6.
I think the Pacers in 7.
Thunder in 6.
I'll say Thunder in what game are we up to?
They can only win
it. It has to be 6 or 7.
Okay, I'll say Pacers tomorrow. There you go. Lock it in.
But then who wins the championship, Jonas?
Oh, is it not the last game?
It's game 5 tomorrow.
No. Game 5.
Okay, Pacers in the game after that as well.
Pacers in 6.
Oh, I would say the Knicks, but we're out.
Thunder in 6. That'll be too good.
We will see.
Panthers okay. At 6-2.
I think that'll wrap us up for this week. Thank you all for listening. We've got some things coming, so stay tuned. But we will see you next week. Thanks very much.